So, you know, obviously we haven't been very active recently. I think a lot of that has just come down to life. You know, life's been crazy. But, you know, we've read Hour of the Wolf, and that's sort of been the big thing, right, with Battletech. You know, it's come out, the O-Clan is here. That's been the big thing. But I'm not going to lie. I did not enjoy the book. And that is something that will need to be discussed later and at length. And I'm trying to think how to do that without just going on a 2-hour diatribe of just yelling about it. I have a lot of problems with it, both structurally and just with other things. And one of the big things that really does stick to me is, man, they did Stone dirty, and they did the Republic dirty. And I have, you know, I'm not particularly attached to the Republic, but I feel it could have been done better. And I keep coming back to that original Ill-Clan cover that we saw a couple of years ago that was demoed at Gen Con. And it has Alaric and his Savage Wolf, and also what we assume is Stone in his Atlas II in a circle of equals. And look, I mean, they can say what they want about whether or not Ben Rome's released timeline was real or not, but they did cover art for it. Cover art ain't cheap. And at some point, that must have been a serious consideration. And I feel it's a shame, because having Stone and Alaric in a circle of equals against each other, that feels very Battletech to me. It's bombastic. It's epic. And I feel it could have done a lot more to provide tension and grandeur to that story than what we got. Because I don't feel that storyline had a lot of that. I don't feel that novel really hit those beats. And that is something they could have done that. Now, at the end of Hour of the Wolf, and that's spoilers for you, the end of Hour of the Wolf, you know, there is a scene in that last chapter with Alaric, Chance Vickers, and Stone, as Stone is just falling apart in his hospital bed. Because reasons. And I mean, they just made it bad. You know, it's like, you know, Pardo did not do a good job with that. Because they basically made Stone so decrepit and just falling apart completely after defrosting from his cryo sleep. You know, they even had him in a colostomy bag. And, you know, there's this big moment where Stone, there's a big reveal. Oh, ha, 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 ha. You actually played into my plan. And Alaric falls apart. And it's just, it's like, it doesn't reward the reader because it doesn't make any sense. You know, you look at it and, you know, that whole book, you know, Alaric is basically saying, I'm going to try and pit the Republic and the Falcons against each other so that it makes it possible for us to take Terra and also fight off the Falcons in the end and have enough strength to hold Terra and really firmly establish ourselves as the Ill-Clan. And I mean, Alaric knew that the keys to the fortress were from outside a scientist cast. I mean, we saw that. It was in Children of Kerensky. And, you know, Alaric is hearing all these things that Stone's telling him, and he's just falling apart. And it doesn't feel earned. It doesn't feel like that's how it should have happened. It feels bad. And it's so amazing. And it's like, you know, Stone is like, hey, it turns out your plan and my plan were the same plan. And I did everything you wanted me to do so that you could win. Doesn't that make you feel awful? And Alaric is like, yes, it does. In fact, it makes me feel so awful we're going to smother an old man with a colostomy bag to death with a pillow. Like, Stone is like, look how much I suck. It's exactly what you wanted and planned. How shocking. And it just, it doesn't feel earned. And it feels like a cop-out. And I just keep thinking back to that original Ill Clan cover. And how we could have gotten there. And how much better that could have been. And it just struck me, you know, if you want to collapse Alaric's confidence in himself, if you wanted to fill him with self-doubt and kind of tarnish that victory, you know, how could you do that? And how could you make it so that you still have that epic conclusion? You know, and we know from Field Manual 3145 with the entry on Stone at the end that he had the developing of some sort of cognitive dysfunction before he went into cryosleep. And we know that him going into cryosleep made it worse. And I mean, it's also frustrating that in the beginning of Shrapnel 4, with there's that little like 2-page entry about cryosleep and cryopreservation or whatever you want to call it. We know that it's widely accepted knowledge that, you know, trying to put yourself in cryosleep for months or years can really damage the brain. You know, it's common knowledge. Okay, it's apparently common knowledge to everyone that is not in the Republic. So that's its own frustrating thing, right? Like, everybody knows this is a problem, except for the people who have to work with Stone. And, you know, I mean, you know, the other thing is that, you know, if Stone's starting to show cognitive decline before and after, you know, being put in cryosleep, I mean, to my mind, that should really open the door to the possibility that the people in charge of the Republic, that people that are working next to Stone, can see he's not all there anymore. You know, even being at first sort of taken in awe that this legend has come back to save the Republic, can no longer function how he was known to have functioned during the jihad. At some point, they need to be able to take control away from him. You know, at some point, they need to say, whoa, we need to take a step back, and he can no longer be in charge. And, you know, even if that happens sort of with the timeline in Hour of the Wolf, where the Republic still loses, there's the fight between Falcon and Wolf, and the Wolf still wins, you know, that can still happen. But before the Republic completely loses, at some point, they've got to take Stone out of control. You know, he's no longer being able to function. And we know, historically, that fixed emplacements do not work against the clans. Especially with clans that are willing to use orbital bombardments. So, very shortly afterwards, I mean, they should be able to start seeing, hey, well, if Stone is relying on fixed emplacements, which we know, historically, does not work against the clans. They drop elementals on you or whatever. The redoubts do not work. They should have very quickly taken power away from Stone and relegated him to second line status. Or just you go over there in the corner, old man, and don't do anything. You know, they didn't need to put him in a colostomy bag and give him a wheelchair. You know, they just needed to take him out of control because we know that his brain's not working. And then afterwards, you've got, you know, Falcon and Wolf, and then what I just imagine happening is you get this crazy old man, who just climbs into his battle mech because no one thought to secure it because Stone's old, Stone's crazy, his brain ain't working, but he still finds a way to get into his battle mech because no one's looking after it because they don't have to worry about the crazy old man. So he gets into his battle mech and he marches over to Alaric Wolf right after right after they defeat the Falcons and challenges him to a circle of equals. So now, you know, Alaric's denied a Takayed-style trial. He's ignored Stone's request to try and find a different way around this. But now he can't, because he can't avoid the fact that Stone's now in a battle mech. And Stone is challenging him in front of all of what's left of Clan Wolf and all of what's left of Clan Jade Falcon. And because Stone was Exarch of the Republic and he was a hero of the Inner Sphere and he defeated the Word of Blake, Alaric can't just pass this off to a surrogate. You know, like, if you were a Star Colonel and you challenge a Khan, the Khan's going to say, well, forget you. I'm a Khan. I'm going to get a surrogate to do this for me. I don't have to fight you. But Alaric can't do that. And then, to actually finally introduce some tension in this book, what would be even more brilliant is that as Stone's brain is melting away, all the stuff the Word of Blake pumped into that brain to reprogram him starts kicking in. It's just that, like, he's on autopilot. You know, all that military training the Word of Blake put in, and, you know, asterisk, possibly Stone's revealed past as a rabid fox operative from the Federated Suns. You know, so if Lucifer was actually supposed to be Arthur Steiner Davian, because we all thought maybe it's Stone, but Victor doesn't recognize him. There's no sign that you know, Stone has had plastic surgery. So we know he's a rabid fox agent, or at least we assume he's still a rabid fox agent. So you have the military training from that, then all the stuff the Word of Blake pumped into him, and his brain just, boom, just does stuff. And it would be so fucking amazing if Stone really pushes Alaric to the brink. And like even better, you know, all that training just, it makes Stone a monster in a battle mech. You know, because we never saw Stone in fiction fighting. You know, we only kind of know. And it would just be brilliant if, like, the whole Inner Sphere after the Jihad, you know, with the peace of the Republic, and then even the Dark Age when they're fighting industrial mechs, if the entire Inner Sphere, clans included, were actually far more rusty than we think, you know? If they're not actually that great. But Stone, who had to fight through all of that stuff, especially through the Jihad, and before that as a rabid fox agent, he's actually brilliant. He's like a maestro, a prodigy at a battle mech, you know? That's why he was so successful, because he's actually just... He was from a different era, you know, almost like, you know, the Greek age of myth, you know, the heroic age, right? Where they were just, you know, Achilles and Nestor and all, like, they were bigger, faster, stronger in a way that you know, in you know, to the people of classical Greece, they couldn't comprehend, you know? And Stone just begins just, like, wrecking Alaric. Like, Alaric can barely hold on, and everybody can see it. Everybody witnessing this circle of equals can see it. But because of the damage to Stone's brain, due to the cryosleep, there's stuff that we can't see. You know, and it's not just the damage to the neurons, you know, the gray matter, but it's also the blood vessels in the brain. And an aneurysm develops. You know, he's fighting, and his blood pressure is rising, and an aneurysm develops. And so for those of you not in the know, an aneurysm is when a part of an arterial blood vessel is weakened, and it causes this ballooning effect at this weakened part in the muscles of the arterial wall. And then the aneurysm bursts and causes a massive brain hemorrhage. And so right before Stone is about to totally wreck Alaric, because in the end, you know, all this stuff about the eugenics with the clans doesn't matter. You know, the reactions can't be better, because in reality, the clans are great because you're able to eliminate genetic defects, but you can't make nerves faster. You can't make the brain fire faster. All you've done is just taken a bunch of kids, remove their childhood and train them to become murder machines from, like, the age of five. You know? Like, that's what really defines the clans. Is their society says, from the age of five, all you do with your life is train. You know? And Stone just says, nah, the hell with all you. You know? Your nerves aren't faster. And you're all rusty. But I'm from a heroic age. You can't defeat me. And right before Stone delivers that final blow that wrecks Alaric, he has a massive aneurysm and brain bleed and just dies. And that would fuck with Alaric so badly in a way that no one can really comprehend, right? Because he finally has Terra. He's defeated the Falcons, the Wolves' eternal enemy, all the way back to the Pentagon Civil War, and Operation Klondike. You know, it goes all the way back to that. So he's finally at the top of the game. He finally has it. And he's getting his ass handed to him by an old man that can barely freaking walk, right? And whose brain is melting. And everybody sees it. Everybody sees that Alaric is gonna lose until Stone dies. And so Alaric wins, but Stone doesn't lose. But as far as clan honor rules go, Alaric takes the victory, but it's tainted. It's tainted. It's not perfect. And that's going to haunt him the whole time. And the clan just goes with it. I mean, the clan goes with it because they have to, but it bugs them too. And then it gets out to the Hell's Horses, and it gets out to the Ravens, and the Diamond Sharks, and the Ghost Bears. And it's going to make everything more difficult. And for the Inner Sphere, the Fed Sons, the Capellan Confederation, the Free Worlds League, the Lyran Commonwealth, the Draconis Combine, it doesn't bother them too much because, you know, Terra means something, but it doesn't mean all that much. But Terra, okay, it's in clan control, and, you know, whatever. It's going to mess with the clans. And I know it's like, oh, it'd be silly for Stone to get into a battle mech. He's old, he's ancient, you know, and I know, you know, people are going to say, oh, well, you know, Pardo, he's an historian and all this and all that. But hey, you know what? You know, Pardo's bag is the Civil War and World War II and that stuff. My bag is Hellenistic history. That's my bag. Now, granted, I'm rusty. You know, I had to become an adult and I can't spend all that free time going over all that stuff. And I've forgotten way more than I care to admit. But I'll tell you this, with modern medicine, let alone future medicine, the idea that Stone could get into a battle mech is not unrealistic. And I can give you four examples from Hellenistic history. I mean, we're talking the era of like 450 BC to 281 BC. And I'm going to go in order. So you have Seleucus Nicator, probably the most successful of Alexander the Great's successor generals, died age 77 due to assassination by Ptolemaios Kouranos just outside of Macedonia after campaigning and winning the Battle of Corupedion against his rival. So you have Seleucus Nicator, age 77. Lysimachos, who died at the Battle of Corupedion, and the rival of Seleucus Nicator, died age 79, leading his forces there. And he died in that fight, age 79. So even if Seleucus and Lysimachos were not fighting in the front line, I mean, these dudes are still up on horses, they're still in armor, they're still campaigning, they're still marching out in the field. You know, these guys are still moving. And then, before that, in the year 301 BC, Seleucus and Lysimachos were part of the coalition that defeated Antigonos Monophthalmus, Antigonos the One-Eyed, also the successor of Alexander the Great, and Antigonos died at the age of 81. You know, and, you know, he died in battle. you know, he died, I believe it was from being hit with a spear. So, you know, there you go. 81. Fighting. And then even beyond that, you have, you know, before Alexander the Great, you have Agesilaos, the second of Sparta, a mercenary general who died at the age of 84, returning from Egypt, after leading mercenary forces there. Now, was Agesilaos probably fighting in the front lines? Well, no, but he was probably wearing armor, he was probably campaigning, he was probably leading forces, he was in the field. These are old men, and these are old men that are active in fighting. So the idea that Stone would be doing the same is not ridiculous at all, especially if he's going to be in a battle mech. And yeah, I mean, I just, it's one of the things about Howard the Wolf that bugs me, is that it's so spiteful towards the Republic and Stone. And it's spiteful in a way that just does not feel good at all. And, I mean, if you've got to maintain some of that story cohesion, that plotting that Catalyst decided to go with for Hour of the Wolf, fine. But it doesn't feel great. And it doesn't feel like the ending at all makes sense or is earned. And the sort of the reveal, the taking the mask off of Stone, like at the end of a Scooby-Doo episode, where he reveals everything. And of course, probably a lot of it was lying, and you know, maybe you could even argue that Stone's brain isn't even working, so who even knows if he's lying? But it doesn't feel good. And I feel like a crazy, half-mad, cognitive dysfunction driven Stone climbing up into his battle mech, challenging Alaric, putting him in a position that Alaric cannot refuse a circle of equals, and pushing Alaric to the brink in front of his entire clan. And Alaric only wins on a technicality because Stone's brain just falls apart because of a aneurysm and cerebral hemorrhage. It just feels so much better. Right? Like, it's victory, but it's a hollow victory. And Stone gets to be epic one last time. We get to see a shadow of the Stone that led the inner spirit of victory against the Word of Blake. And was able to go toe-to-toe against Cameron Saint Jemai on Terra. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. And maybe work really kicked my ass and my brain is fried and I'm just still stewing over my problems with Hour of the Wolf. But I don't know, man. That feels better to me than what we got. That feels better to me. And you guys are free to disagree. You guys are free to think that's awful. But, you know, hey, an old dude climbing in a battle mech to give it one last hurrah. That's cool. That would have made me happy. And this is already almost a 25-minute monologue. So I'm just going to leave it there, guys. We're working on a new episode. Dan and I are going to read a book that will surprise you. And we're going to kind of break it down about why it ain't that bad. Take care, everyone. Hope you guys are staying safe from COVID. Till next time.